Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, a landscape designer, garden author. We have a wonderful tour company called Art and Bloom Garden Tours that you're welcome to travel with us. And we go visit beautiful, sublime gardens all over the United States and across the pond. And we have a lot of our 2027 tours up right now. And you can go check it out at artandbloomgardentours.com. We have the French tour up, and we are going to be visiting, Lizzie, some wonderful chateaus and castles and all of the iconic Parisian landmarks, so the Louvre and the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame. We get to see the new Notre Dame Cathedral.
And the best part about this is you get to hang out with Teresa and Tony. So then you get you basically get a one-on-one because you do keep y'all's tours smaller.
We do.
And so if anybody wants to know the cost and how they can sign up or even be put on a waiting list, where did they find that out?
They go to Art and Bloom Garden Tours, all one word, artandbloomgardentours.com. And they will fill up fast. And we do keep small groups. So we are looking forward to doing that. I have a wonderful trip next week. Tom McCubbin will be here next week. And he will be hosting for me while I'm gone. And I know you will enjoy that. And Tom is always great to have. I do appreciate it. And so let's now go to the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is oligotrophic. Oligotrophic. And the word oligotroph is a combination of the Greek adjective oligos, meaning few, and the adjective tropikos, meaning feeding. It's an important word for understanding ecosystem dynamics, soil fertility, and sustainable land management in nutrient-poor regions of the world. Oligotrophic environments where the available nutrients offer little to sustain life, with very low concentrations of nitrates, iron, phosphates, and carbon sources. These environments include deep oceanic sediments, caves, glacier, and polar ice, deep subsurface soils, aquifers, ocean waters, and leach soils. These areas exhibit low surface chlorophyll. They're occasionally described as ocean deserts. Examples of oligotrophic creatures are the cave-dwelling salamander, called an olm, O-L-M, and organisms like lichens, with their extremely low metabolic rate. The oligotrophic soil environments include agricultural soil, frozen soil, and white sand soils in the Amazon basin. Various factors such as decomposition, soil structure, fertilization, and temperature can affect the nutrient availability in the soil environments. I chose today's dirty word because Florida is experiencing Saharan desert dust this weekend. Although the dust can be difficult for people with allergies, it benefits oligotrophic coral beds. Lizzie, you asked me how does it affect coral beds?
How does it affect coral beds?
There you go. Well, we're going to explain right now, and we're also taking your gardening questions this hour, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So the Saharan desert dust and its role in fertilizing iron coral reefs. Recent research suggests that the Saharan desert dust can naturally fertilize coral reefs by supplying essential micronutrients, especially iron, that is often scarce in nutrient-poor reef waters, the oligotrophic waters. Trade winds across Saharan desert regions, such as the Chad's Depression westward across the Atlantic, The particles can travel more than 6,000 miles before settling over the ocean and reaching the Caribbean and southeastern U.S. coast. As the dust moves through humid air and seawater, temperatures changes and atmospheric acids alter its iron minerals, making them more soluble and easier for marine organisms to use. Iron is important for photosynthesis and respiration. Coral reef studies show that exposure to dust can raise levels of iron, manganese, magnesium, and other metals in coral tissues, boosting photosynthetic performance, especially during heat stress. This metal cocktail effect suggests that several dust-carrying nutrients, rather than the iron alone, may help coral reefs become more resilient. Saharan dust also fertilizes Atlantic phytoplankton blooms, which form the base of the marine food web. These blooms may indirectly benefit reef ecosystems by increasing food for reef fish and other organisms. Overall, Saharan dust can help fertilize coral reef ecosystems by delivering bioavailable iron and key metals that support coral photosynthesis, symbiotic health, and resistance to bleaching. This process reflects the broader role of Saharan Desert in sustaining marine productivity. How wonderful is Mother Nature? And the dust, it affects me. I don't like the dust. I can tend to get asthma when it's really dusty, but that it really helps our coral reefs is wonderful. You know, so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Like William from Melbourne just did. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. To Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can call 1-888-455-2967. That's 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. Let's go to William in Melbourne. Good morning, William. How can I help you?
Good morning. Yes, I would like to know, I would like to see what type of gourd or something I could grow for birdhouses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any of the variety of gourds, depending on what size of house you want to create, will grow here in Florida. You just need to have some full sun. You need to keep the ground, you know, you need to keep it consistently moist. They don't like, you know, going weeks without water or watering too much. Just needs to be consistent. And then you need to have good air circulation. So you need to have it either growing on a trellis, a wall, an espalier, obelisk. You need to have it growing vertically up. So you need good airflow.
How about in a container, in 5-gallon container?
Sure, you can do that, but again, you want them to grow up, so you're going to need to put something that will allow the gourd's vines to grow up.
Okay, I thank you, then.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's your gourds for birdhouses are wonderful.
So you get it grown, but then with the humidity in Florida, my thought process is like, ugh, it's going to turn into mush.
Right. And so you need to keep it in a cool, dry place, okay, which is in Florida kind of hard to find, but we do have them areas where, you know, like in the corner of your garage, which is nice and cool, or, you know, you don't want it near your dryers or washing machines and that kind of stuff, but a cool, dry little closet. They are going to start to decline. And Lizzie, they will get mold, but you want to get them through that process. It takes about a 1 month, depending on the size of the gourd, to a year for them to dry out. Okay. And then that's when, as soon as it gets lightweight, the lighter it gets, then it's all decomposing on the inside.
Okay. Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Let's go to Tom in Merritt Island. Good morning, Tom. How can I help you?
Okay, so first question on the Seminole pumpkin. I'm harvesting them now, and about how long should they cure before I can eat them?
I would keep thumping it. It just depends, again, on the size and the weight of it. So I would just wait until it's, you know, about 2 to 3 weeks. You can go ahead and see what it weighs and thump it, and when it sounds like it's, you know, kind of, you know, how can I describe the thump? It's just a thump. That's what I'm going to ask Dana next time. How does he describe the thunk that you hear? I would, how many do you have?
Oh, I have over 20.
Oh, there you go. Well, here's what I would do. Is I'd wait 3 weeks, let it dry and kind of sit on your counter, kind of age. And then in 3 weeks, then I would cut it open and see where it is in the process. And then you can either go for it and you can eat the others or wait a little bit longer.
Okay, now a question on watermelon.
Okay.
So I've grown watermelon before, and I've got some watermelon out there.
Excellent.
And typically, watermelon, you know, there's that yellow spot on the bottom.
Yes.
But on some of the watermelons, at least the ones that don't have a full leaf cover, I'm getting some yellow on top. Is that a concern, or is that just normal?
I would say that it's not necessarily a concern. It just, again, one, depending on how long it's been growing. How long have you been growing them?
I'm picking some and eating them already.
Yeah. I would say then you want to go to those and eat them as soon as possible. I would not let them stay too much longer. Yeah, the yellowing on top is an issue.
Okay.
Okay.
And just a quick comment on gourds. I've been growing Cucuza squash, which is the edible gourd.
Yes.
And it just takes over your garden. It's very aggressive, and I've got so much... I got more squash than I could give away, and I'm actually picking some gourds now, clean them and put them in my back bedroom for them to start curing.
There you go. Okay, so you put them in even inside your bedroom. And what do you set them on? What do you set your gourds on? Do you have them in a box? Do you have them on a tray?
They're sitting on carpet now.
They're sitting on carpet. And how long does it take when you have them in your bedroom? How long does it take for them to dry out?
That I don't know. This is the first time I've grown them.
Oh, okay. Well, super. Well, so Tom, when you find out, give us a call back.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to grow them again. They're too aggressive. Take up too much space.
What size garden do you have?
Well, it's at the side of the house, and it's grown about 40 feet on the hurricane fence at that side of the house.
Wow. You know, Jack and the gourd vine. Yeah, Jack.
Yeah. And it grew up into my carambola tree, and I have large gourds hanging from the carambola tree.
Oh, that is so cool. Well, that is really great, Tom. You've got a green thumb definitely there. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. We have great listeners. Oh, I mean, all these gardeners, I love hearing them.
Yes.
And calling in if you have a gardening question or just want to brag about your garden, I would love to hear it. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So we have Brad in Gainesville, and he said, what are your thoughts on lawn sweepers? Am I damaging the grass blades? And I would say, no, you're not damaging it. My thoughts on lawn sweepers are they're an alternative to, bagging your clippings from the lawnmower, leaving it on the ground, and then you're collecting the blades, the spent blades already into the piles. It's a much easier way to do it. It's not as damaging as a lawnmower to it. But also, too, it depends on if you have a flat surface. So lawnmowers can, go over mounds and go over holes and can go in and out a little bit easier. But when you're using a lawn sweeper, you have to have a very flat, even surface. So it depends on your property. And there's, I think they're fine. It just depends on what you're collecting, whether it's the dried leaves in the fall or your grass clippings. And it's you can do it when it is dry and put them in your compost bin, and it's already going to be starting to decompose. So lawn sweepers are pretty cool. Just if you have enough room in your garage for them, it's all those questions.
Okay, what? Here's my question. See, now listeners, please pay attention to this. Do not ever think you got a dumb question, okay? What's a lawn sweeper?
A lawn sweeper is, it's smaller than a riding lawnmower, okay? And it goes through and it just picks up everything that's cut. It just sweeps the lawn.
Okay.
It picks it up to where you can take it and dump it somewhere else. You can dump it into your compost pile. And it's really cool.
Okay.
Huh. Okay, right. But again, you have to have, and it's easier. It's kind of like a push mower. You can also drag it too as well. They're not automated. You don't ride it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is something you have to push by hand or drag it.
When we had a lawn business, we had one of those for the leaves and stuff, and it was called a goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a big blower. So like it sucked I mean, it looked like a blower, but it's like the push blowers.
Right.
But it wasn't. It actually sucked everything into a huge bag and pulled everything out of the yard. So, okay. I never heard it called that.
It called a lawn sweepers. Yeah, look them up. They're pretty cool. You know, for the guy who has everything for his lawn, you know, technical and equipment, you know, it's just something extra to play with. One of those Tonka
They're very interesting, yeah, because when I try to explain to people we had a goat, they're like, oh, you got a goat? Like a real, like an animal? And I'm like, no. The name of it is a goat.
1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. If you'd like to go to my website, you can go to shehe-consulting.com. And you can also, too, Lizzie, where can they go for listening for the podcast, for if they miss any parts of the show or even shows in the past? We have over, there's something like 600 shows.
Oh, yes.
That they can, you know, see and hear again.
Yeah, just go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com. That's the easiest way to find it.
Mm-hmm. And then if you would like to also find out more about, you can email me your gardening questions. I have some great questionings coming up from Kira and then also Sarah. And we can also take your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So again, we are experiencing extreme heat right now. You want to make sure that you are drinking water, a bottle of water, every 30 minutes.
Yeah, and also include electrolytes in that, too.
Yes,
so
yes.
Don't just think water's going to help you, because a lot of people, like even Shrek, that we call my husband Shrek, you know, with us having the businesses that we have, he works outside. So he, you know, for a few years, he's just like, I drank almost a gallon of water, at least a gallon and a half. I'm like, well, where were the electrolytes in that? And he goes, I don't need that. I'm like, no. Electrolytes is what gets you through and replenishes everything. So
it's important. It's amazing how quickly you can succumb to it. And if you're getting a headache or your stomach starts to hurt when you're outside, that's one of those two of the symptoms there of getting a heat stroke. You want to make sure you're not doing that. And so vegetables and fruit care, you can go ahead and start your tomato, pepper, and eggplant seeds for mid-August transplant. Make sure your garden beds have organic material in them. If you have sandy soils, you want to make sure that you are applying and putting into your soil, your sandy soils, organic material. One bag of compost, one bag of manure, one bag of topsoil for every 10 square feet of area is a good recommendation. And you don't want to mend a single hole. When you're planting plants, do not amend the hole. It's already in good soil. The plant, shrub, or tree, whatever you're planting, is in good soil. If you need to amend your garden bed, then amend the entire garden bed, not a single hole. What that's going to do is if you amend the garden bed, then it's going to girdle those roots and it's not going to really adapt to that area. And I'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. We're coming up on a hard break right now. But when you have a good root ball, opening up the roots is very important. Making sure that it will adapt to that area is important. And so when you see the plants, when you're buying them, go ahead and take it out of the pot. Look at the root ball. You want to see nice, white, fleshy, a little bit moist root system. If you see and it's red or brown and it's desiccated and really very dry, then you're going to want to open up some of those roots and maybe even slice the sides of the roots to encourage new growth. You can go ahead and take your shovel and put it completely down around the outside of the plant, and that will be very helpful. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888 855-2967, or you can text 23680. So Tony in Melbourne, she emailed and she said, "Good morning, Teresa. I listen to you every week and I've sent some questions before. I finally got pictures of our bottle brush and maybe you can help us. My husband is ready to just pull out the backyard bottle brush trees because they aren't doing well like the front one is." And she sent great pictures. "So the front tree is doing really well. It's beautiful, even though we planted the back ones first. Why is this? Any suggestions on what we can do so I can tell my husband how we can save the back two trees? Next time, if I have a question, I won't chicken out and I will call instead. Thanks for your help. I love your show." She sent two great pictures of the backyard trees and the front trees. And so really important for you to look at how you're planting. So I love the pictures, the photographs, tremendously. See what I did there, Lizzie? Tremendously.
That was sweet.
Yeah, there you go. So your two trees in the backyard are definitely girdled. The root balls are girdled. And that's going to make it very hard to grow. It's always going to struggle. And you can definitely see it by at the base, the roots are coming out of the ground and they look like they're wrapping around more roots that are up at the surface. So what I need you to do is have your husband dig up the trees and look at the root system, open it up. You can even wash the dirt off of it and try and untangle those roots. If they're so thick and it looks like the top ones are so thick, you can go ahead and clip them, okay, and let the energy start to come from the other root system. Now, you don't want to do too much. I would only say cut 2 to 3 of the root systems if you have a good full 5 or 10 gallon root ball there. But it looks tall enough. They look like they're over 6 foot tall. So you do have a good sized root ball there, but you do want to make sure you're clipping some of those roots to allow the tree roots to expand. You want to keep the flare of the base of the tree at the top. You don't want to bury that flare underneath the ground. So really, these bottle brushes are struggling because they were planted incorrectly. So once you cut them, put them back in the ground, put the dirt back in, make sure you're going to water it well for several days and even up to 2 weeks every day. Just saturate that root ball so that it can get through the shock, because it is going to go through a little bit of a shock. And but right now, it's going to be the hot. The heat is going to allow the root system to grow. I would say make sure it's watered real well before you dig it up. Water it well afterwards, and it's going to do much better. When you start to see new growth on it, you'll know that it came through better. So, Tony, let me know how you do, let me make sure that I gave you the right advice. I want to do that. So Kara in Fort Meade, she said, we bought our first house. Congratulations, Kara. And the yard has been abandoned for years, including a royal poinciana tree that she thought she was too far north inland for it. But it did have two flowers on it when we bought the house last summer. Unfortunately, it was too big for me to cover during the cold, and it never woke up from dormancy. So finally now, 6 months later, she's getting some green appearing, and it's only one little twig near the ground. It's been a month now, and it's still only green. All the other branches look dead. Should I cut the whole tree down to this little branch? And I've attached a photo. Thank you, Teresa. I have been listening to you for years from my tiny patio garden. I'm ecstatic to be able to listen to you in my big, awesome new yard. Well, I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, Kara, again, on your new yard. I'm so excited for you. So I have good news and good news. Okay, so one, Fort Meade is zone 10, and that's perfect for royal poincianas. So it will do very well there. The freeze did take it to the ground, and if we have severe freezes, it is going to succumb to them. But hopefully we're pretty good for the next few years without having a really major frost. But if it does, depending if it's over 6 foot tall by next winter, then you do want to cover it and make sure that it gets through the next winter, because two back-to-back freezes won't be good for it. But thank you for sending in the photos. So if I can kind of describe the picture, She has about a 3 to 4 inch caliper tree that is dead all the way up to about 4 to 5 feet tall. And this royal poinciana has sent up a little branches on the bottom of it. So they're going to go really, they're going to grow really well. But I would cut off just the dead vertical branches. No, not vertical. The horizontal branches. Yes, sideways. The sideways branches of the trunk, and keep that main trunk that's 4 inch caliper so that she can protect the royal poinciana from getting mowed over. Now, one of the biggest things I've seen lately in when people send me pictures is they're planting trees and they're letting the grass grow up to the trunk of the tree. And so what that does is that the grass and weeds and shrubs are competing for the water and the nutrients that should be absorbed by the trees, and they're not getting it because of the grass is going to take over. So you want to create a 6 to 10 foot area, especially for poinciana, royal poinciana, a 10 foot area around the tree, so that when you put fertilizer down, when you put water down, it's going to that tree. It's not going to get absorbed by anything else.
Okay.
Okay. And so she can keep letting this royal poinciana grow. And then I would say probably next spring, she can then cut down. The tree should be a little bit bigger. It should be at least 3 to 4 feet tall. And she can take down the dead other portion of the trunk.
Okay.
Okay, but she doesn't, I wouldn't do it right now.
Okay. Well, that, okay. That makes sense. And that's actually a very good idea, especially about the grass getting so close to the.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's something that, you know, people don't think of. And but you want to create its own little bed. And if you're designing your backyard, you know, if you have a tree that you'd like to put in, create a corner or a larger bed where you can put plants in away from the root system, but that you create your own little garden bed. You can put some shrubs in, but you want to make sure they're at least for a 5 to 6 foot tree that the shrubs are at least 10 feet away for now. You can always put in, you know, smaller annuals in around it as the tree grows. But you want to make sure that the trees that you plant are getting enough water, they're getting enough fertilizer, they're getting the nutrients, and they're not getting whacked by a lawnmower or a weed whacker. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to ask me a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So Kara mentioned the royal poinciana, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it because it is a gorgeous tree. It can be grown in zones 9B to 11. That's USDA zones 9B to 11. It is susceptible to freezes when we have a major freeze, but it should be able to get through a South Florida winter, even getting down to about 45, 50 degrees. It should be just fine. It does lose its leaves in the wintertime, so it is deciduous, Kara. So don't worry about it not having leaves. You know, when you see it. Now, your tree looks, that 3 to 4 inch caliper looks like it was an older tree that just got zapped. And so royal poincianas don't bloom until they're at least 5 years old. And so that you had, it had two blooms on it last year, kind of indicates that it is that old. So the new growth coming up may not bloom next year, but it should take, you know, with proper fertilizing, only a couple of years for it to come back. They, it's also called the flamboyant tree or flame tree. Beautiful, beautiful orangey red flowers that are just cornered, deep red to bright orange. And they do have yellow flowering cultivars of these trees. And it, deciduous, I said that. But it also, too, it's, needs some pruning when it's newly planted. You want to keep an eye on it. And as with all new trees that are planted, you want to just kind of start to very carefully limit up so that you're able to eventually walk underneath it. But you only want to do this once it has a good canopy on it, enough of the leaves and branches that if you take off a few, it can still go through photosynthesis. You don't want to shock it. You can take a third of the branches off, and that of an established tree, a young tree, then and it's not going to stress it out too much. So when you're talking about trimming shrubs, even trimming a root ball, you don't want to do them at the same time. You don't want to take the plant out of the tree or shrub out of the pot and cut the roots and then cut the top of it off at the same time. That's just going to be too much stress on it, especially during the summertime. If you want to make sure that the tree is, you need to trim a branch that could hit somebody or is in the way, that's growing into your house, you can cut those off at any time. Okay, go ahead and take care of them. You want to make sure you're doing a clean cut. You want to do it diagonally and leave a little bit of a collar on major trees, the trunks of trees, so that it will grow over it, and trees relate very well to it. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. What can you be doing in your landscape right now? Definitely, you want to make sure that you are applying insecticide and minor nutrient spray to citrus trees each time it gets a new flush of growth. That's very important. Excuse me. You want to keep figs moist. You want to feed them lightly. And again, mulch is very important to keep the ground moist so that you can avoid summer fruit drop with figs. So mulching fruit trees is important. And you can even lightly mulch citrus trees to keep the moisture in. Pruning blueberries right now is important. When the harvest is over, once you've gotten the last bit of the blueberries, you can go ahead and cut it back. And then blackberries, when they have the declining stems, when they die, you can cut those off and allow new growth right now. You can give fruit trees a very light pruning. You want to make sure, like Alan says, that you prune it very lightly. You don't want to take off more than a third. Roses, if you have rose gardens going right now, your hybrid teas, your grandifloras, you can give those a cut once they finish blooming, and that will allow them to start that blooming process over again. Drift roses and your smaller roses, your ground cover roses, they do not need to be pruned to grow.
Okay, that's good to know. I have a stack of them.
Do you?
Yeah, I just haven't put them in the ground yet. I'm just like, I've become like the worst person when it comes to plants, I swear.
So if you have azaleas and camellias, do not cut them anymore. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to not want to cut your azaleas and camellias because you're cutting off the blooms for next year. All right. So if you're having to prune them so that people can walk by the sidewalk, or that they are too big and they're getting into your house, then you've got the plant in the wrong place. Okay. You do not want to cut your azaleas and your camellias right now. Now, if there is, let's say you have an azalea shrub and there's one big long stem that's coming out of it, that's just, you can just see it. It's just sticking out. It's, overachiever. You can go ahead and cut those back anytime to kind of keep that form of that azalea. No need to prune crepe myrtles. You do not need to do that. They do not. You can cut the seed pods off. You can cut back branches that are, going sideways, that is rubbing another branch. You want to make sure you have good airflow circulation in your crepe myrtle. And then all the suckers you can just rub off with your hand. You don't need to, get them while they're still nice and green and young and tender, and you can just rub them off and they'll be fine. Poinsettias, if you have poinsettias in your yard and they're doing well, this is the time of the year for the next month. You can go ahead and cut back your poinsettias. You can cut them back 4 to 6 inches. That'll allow them to go ahead and encourage more growth. You can prune your hydrangeas now. If they bloomed and you got to remove the old flower, clusters, and you can reshape them. And then also, too, you want to mushrooms. Mushrooms are growing in the landscape, and they're a sign of a healthy landscape.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I wondered about that.
The organic material in your ground is doing well, and the rainfall is causing the mushroom fungi to emerge and grow. That's not really a bad thing, and you don't need to do anything to get rid of them. They're just going to die on their own naturally, and you really can't prevent the air spores from coming through from the neighbor's yard or from, you know, just in the air. The mushrooms are going to come up. But if you're getting all this rain and you're irrigating, then you're going to get the mushrooms. That is something you can do something about. So you don't want to, compound the problem by overwatering too as well. Also, mosquitoes. I was at a landscape this week that had a lot of blind mosquitoes in it. They were just coming up by the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Summit Responsible Solutions has a really good product that will get rid of those. The mosquito and yard barrier.
Yes.
Will kill the blind mosquitoes for up to 4 weeks. And it does have permethrin in it, but it's a very, very effective for getting rid of blind mosquitoes, especially around your screens and your pool enclosures. But it will also get rid of spider mites. It will get rid of white flies, ants, fleas, and ticks. Chinch bugs it will get rid of, leaf miner, aphids, Japanese beetles, if you're up north, and then mole crickets. So the Summit Mosquito and Gnat Barrier that you can find in any hardware store, at nurseries, and then also online. You can go on to SummitResponsibleSolutions.com and order it. You can go to any of the delivery services online and the great products, you know, kind of Amazon, those things, and get it.
Yeah,
because I
don't have time to usually run to the box stores to get my Summit Responsible Solutions. So I do order it through Amazon, and it just makes it easier because it's delivered right there to our house. And yes, they are a sponsor, but I've used Summit Responsible Solutions way before I even did this show, and I absolutely 100% back it.
It's a wonderful product. And so you want to check out SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. So we want to thank Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialist Nursery. He has a wonderful nursery where you can go get native trees, native shrubs. He has fruit trees. He has all kinds of herbs. And then also to the plants, the fruit trees he has are great. Olive trees. He has so many different types of olive trees that will look good in any yard. Olives do very well here. And you will get olives the very first year you plant them. So they're just a wonderful fruit tree to add. And I love that silver gray color. It looks good on Mediterranean homes and things, Spanish style homes. Also, too, he has a mulch and all kinds of soil. And you can get a soil test done there. And that's very important because you need to know what's in your soil to fertilize it. Before you fertilize, get a soil test. We don't need to be putting down as much nitrogen as we think. And right now, especially for your turf, you're on a fertilizer ban in most counties in Florida. So that goes on through October 1st. Thank you, Lizzie. You are the magic behind the screen board there. Thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you to our listeners. You guys make our jobs a whole lot of fun. So thank you.
We do. We do appreciate it. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens next week. Thank you so much to all our callers and listeners. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.